Sorry, not sorry.
She's back.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, not streaming live on digital stream radio because there's server issues with
difficulties.
We're having difficulties with our service provider. So as soon as we're able to get that link up and going, we'll do that for you. But let's move on. So on today's show, we're going to welcome author F.E. Feely Jr. To discuss his book, Closer. We will also be joined by Vance Bastian once again, who narrated the audio version of that book. We'll have more on both of our guests on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here in the room with my bitches. She's back, starting with the first one.
Hi, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we've got an amazing show, an amazing book to cover, a very spooky book.
Yeah, that was terrifying.
A little bit.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So no, but we're just...
Wait, can they still see us?
They can see us on... If you're a Patreon subscriber, you can actually see us on our link because we put that on there for you.
And if you're not, give us money, give us money, give us money, give us money.
I love him.
Oh, I just got a tap on Grindr. One moment.
Oh, Lord.
We just talked about how when we download that, literally 2 minutes later, we delete it. She lied to me.
Well, she is off this week. So, you know, her mission was one of two things, to get loaded and loaded.
Yeah. Like loaded and laid. Loaded and laid.
It's loaded, laid, and then loaded again.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She going to get spit roasted.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Who is calling me right
so,
now?
So anyway, it is Pride Month. We're still in the midst of all of this. And, you know, there's a lot of Pride celebrations. I believe Pride in
D.C.
And D.C. happened not too long ago. Pride in the Park in Connecticut happened this past weekend.
Boston was this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Boston was also this weekend. And this upcoming Saturday, it's going to be the one in Providence.
And I know Mr. Pride Boston.
Well, do you know?
We're Instagram friends.
Oh, well,
also
that's nice.
For our local listeners, Middletown will be holding its first Pride event on this upcoming Saturday.
That's awesome.
Actually, do you remember like a while back when I was talking about that teacher in Boston who, what did he do? I can't remember what he did, but fuck.
Did he lick it good?
I was going to say, did he touch it?
No, he did something for like his students and it was like never mind.
Was he on Ellen?
No, it's going to fall flat.
Okay. Oh, I thought it was that. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
No, anyway, no, but go ahead.
No, I can't
remember. Lost it.
All right, well, listen, we've got a heavy show, so why don't we kick it over to Christopher so he can tell us what our suggested cocktail for today is.
Yeesh. We're suggesting tequila today.
Tequila.
That's right. Our signature cocktail is the tequila honeysuckle. Very simple. It consists of 2 ounces Milagro Blanco tequila. We love Milagro.
Milagro's always very
definitely
good.
Recommend it. And it's good for the price.
It's one of the smoothest tequilas when you're drinking it, like at least doing shots. Mm-hmm. It goes down very smooth.
Yeah, and it's the $7.50 is under $30 a bottle, I believe. So it's very economical. Mm-hmm. So again, recommend that. So 2 ounces Milagro Blanco tequila, 0.75 ounces of honey syrup, and then 0.75 ounces of fresh lime juice. Combine the ingredients in a shaker and shake with ice. Strain into a coupe glass, which are those old school fancy martini glasses, garnished with a lime wedge. And this recipe comes courtesy of the Randstad Room in Philadelphia, PA.
Yes, and we're focusing on Trish right now and her grinder. I'm kidding. I just quickly gashed over.
It's an anonymous sandwich.
Anyway, so let's quickly jump in. We have a very little amount of time before we have to bring our guest in. So why don't we just throw it over to our boys. Trish, why don't we start with you? How was your weekend?
Fine.
She looks like she's fucking freezing right now.
I literally am so cold.
She's like almost like turtlenecking and everything.
I'm like so cold right now. I don't know how you guys are so fine.
I'm always fine in this temperature. You know me, the colder the better.
I know you're not sweat. Well, you're still sweating.
No, that's glistening. That's the oil in my face, bitch.
No, it was fine.
I have to go cleanse tonight.
I took vacation this week, so I've been like kind of just relaxing. It's been nice.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. And you're off all this week, so you know you've got two missions.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking it late. Proud of you.
Well, my nephew's graduating, so.
That's nice. Yeah. So is it a big graduation? Like
high school.
High school. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's huge.
That's awesome.
He's like a badass, and he's beautiful, and I'm so excited for him.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And is he going to college?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Has he decided?
Yeah.
Did he get multiple? Like,
he got a lot of money, and he's going to a really good school, and I'm like, still the dumb one.
Well, there's got to be one at least, so you know.
She's right here.
Yeah.
So that's awesome, though. I'm congratulations to nephew Bussett. He might not be a Bussett.
He's not a Bussett.
But that's okay. But congratulations for the best, either way. Yeah, for the best. And Christopher, how was your weekend?
All I did was work. I'm boring. Let's just save the time.
Okay.
I worked. Well, it was good. But...
Why? I was away for a week. You guys were just like, meh. Stab.
No, we stabbed you in the first opener. That's about it. We barely even talked about you.
I think I made fun of her a couple times. Just a couple. It was very nice.
I did not listen because I did not want to hear it.
Because you knew it was going to happen. Once we left the episode, I texted Nick and said, you know, the show went great. Don't worry. We did make fun of you. Like,
yeah. No, but Elsira sat in your chair and Elsie was very complimentary of you. And she says, you know, she loves you and she missed you. We were the bad ones, of course, because, you know, we love you and we miss you. And so when we don't have you, we make fun of you.
Exactly. Because, like, you know,
that's how we show our love.
I got to look at beautiful Elsie and now I have.
So that's actually really funny because I was reading this thing today about.
Uh-huh. Oh, Lord.
It was like this whole study about. Gay culture and why gay individuals are depressed and whether they're in the closet or out, mainly actually out. Within the gay culture, we have a tendency to put each other down constantly. And it tends to make us all feel worse than we are.
Is it making you feel worse?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, so we're jumping
into
stories.
You're proving a point.
Okay,
You're proving a point. That's all I'm saying.
What we do on the show is done with a lot of love and a lot of respect for all three of us that sit at this table. Except when the cameras go down and the mics go silent, then we kill each other.
Sometimes they're not silent.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true. no, but so you have a story actually on your roster that talks a little bit about this, about loneliness in the LGBT community.
It's hard to really talk about this. Like, I want to talk about this and I want to dig really deep into it, but it's.
Well, summarize it. If you don't want to dig deep into it.
No, it's literally like pages long. Like, it's a study and it's. It's about why homosexuality tends to, at a certain age, lead to loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And why, like you see, there's a certain point in every gay man's life when your friends, your heterosexual friends, start multiplying, getting married, buying homes. And whether you're with somebody or not, you're not doing that. And then they're building a whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're no longer a part of that life, but you are a huge part of their life before that. And so that disparity, is that the right word? Whatever, doesn't matter. It starts to grow and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because they're building friendships because of their children. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't have kids. And
so you no longer have anything in common with these
correct.
Folks.
And that's only one part of mm-hmm. this whole study. And it's very eye-opening and, intense. It also talks about that gay men tend to have a higher rate of diseases in general. And I think that's because of
promiscuity. And...
No, not even that. Well, not even that. It's about depression, really. It's about mm-hmm. you're out of the closet and you're trying to build a community and you say, all right, so I'm going to move to Boys Town, or I'm going to move to Hell's Kitchen, or I'm going to move to wherever. And then you move there and you start this life. And all you do is meet people that you want to be a part of, or you want to join a group. And all they do is put you down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not good enough. You're not better enough.
But that's not the only thing, though. Like, I feel that because of our vanity, right, especially in the men in the LGBTQ community, they tend to be very vain. And when you're looking for people, you're looking for sex, you're looking for beauty, you're looking for body,
you're looking for
all these...
Look for the M word. masculinity.
Not only that, but you're also looking for vanity. And so when you start losing it, right? When you start gaining a few pounds here and there, you sort of kind of get tossed out of that in crowd.
Yes. And no, but beyond that, before you've been in the in crowd, you are in the in crowd.
Well, I mean, because I'm comfortable with myself.
Right. What I'm saying right now is that it's not about being in the in crowd or not being in the in crowd. What it is, it's like you're always looking for something you don't have or you can't have. And so we're constantly looking for masculinity. That's why you see a lot of like flamboyant men trying to take on masculine qualities. Or you see people say, I want mask for mask, mm-hmm. or this or that. I mean, literally, we self-deprecate ourselves to a point where we're literally, as a community, putting ourselves down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are definitely right with that. But Tom does hit a good point as well. He is partially right. There is a separation when it comes to body shaming. And it comes to ageism as well. That's the other thing.
People body shame themselves no matter what age you are.
But you don't even need to help yourself in doing that. Other people will do it for you. You can literally feel it. The moment you get to that point in where you no longer are physically ideal for the majority of the males in the LGBT community, you're literally cast aside. Like, you can be mm-hmm. with a group of people and they can talk to you, but they're talking to you because you're the funny one. You're the one that cracks the jokes. You're the one that makes them laugh.
Right.
But would you be the one they sleep with?
Correct. And there's also this element, too. They say in this study that most of the damage done to homosexual youth is between the moment of, all right, I think I might be gay, mm-hmm. to the moment of coming out, whether that's 4 years, 10 years, whatever that is, that's the most damage that's happening because there's so much stress and angst that you put upon yourself to hide your mannerisms, to hide this, to hide your relationships, to hide what you want to see, to hide, oh, I accidentally looked at that person too long. And those stressors cause more issues within your body than you would think, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, when you're at a bar as a heterosexual, somebody drives by that bar, you don't think twice about it. I go outside and I smoke a cigarette at our bar, and somebody drives by our bar, I'm hyper aware. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen when this person drives by the bar? Mm-hmm. Because not only have people yelled at me or said inappropriate things, mm-hmm. but that moment increases my heart rate.
That's right.
And that moment also tends, that increase makes your brain is secreting endorphins, your body is reacting. And in that, now we see why homosexuals have more health issues, because we are constantly on the fucking defensive.
Right.
We're constantly looking, whether it's like, I'm so comfortable and in such a great place that it doesn't matter and I can hold the hand of my lover and walk down the street. I will hold the hand of my lover and walk down that street,
and
my fucking eyes are
right. everywhere.
Yeah,
right.
Because
of course.
I'm protecting myself.
Yes.
And so you are continuously creating an environment where your body is on the defensive.
Right.
Tense, defensive.
And there's also something that's also very important to point out when it comes to loneliness in the LGBTQ plus community. People try to mask their loneliness with addiction, unfortunately. And it leads to addiction. Mm-hmm. People will start abusing substances, abusing alcohols. That's very common in the LGBT community.
I don't think that they're trying to mask their loneliness with. I think what's going on here is that because of the situation that we are placed in, we tend to find ourselves in situations where these things are available to us.
Of course.
And then we then indulge in those things and have a good time, have sex with these things and have this with these things.
But there's also stressors that lead you to start to use these things to kind of numb those stressors out. Mm-hmm. You know, you're worried about coming out. You're worried about how your friends and family might take it. You're worried about being discriminated against. And when, you know, you realize if you pop those pills or you have those extra drinks or you shoot up a little bit more, you start to numb yourselves. And then that's a slippery slope leading down to a devastating lifestyle of addiction, which leads to increased promiscuity. Unfortunately, some people start to use sexual favors to get drugs.
Yeah.
And then by being so inebriated, you might indulge in higher risk sexual situations.
But you also have to think, like, too, it's like, yes, that's true. That is so true. And we keep doing that to ourselves. But we are, as a community, doing that to ourselves. We keep saying, this is the next thing that's going to change it. This is the next thing that's going to change it. We need marriage equality. Oh, everything's going to be great after that.
We had talked.
Oh, no, no. We need bullying to stop now. Everything's going to be great after that.
But I mean,
oh, no. Now we need to put Trump down. Everything's going to be great after that.
The thing is,
it's one thing after the next. We embrace the fact that we are different and we are continually going to be different and we are beautiful, we're going to have to deal with this bullshit.
But when you look at the community as a whole, a large percentage of our community knows that we are different. A large percentage of our community knows that we are beautiful and that we're different and that we are an amazing group of people and that we do great things and that we are a community-based group of people that are trying to do better for ourselves.
But we don't celebrate our differences.
We may not celebrate our differences to the extent that we should, but the problem lies in that all of these triggers that you've mentioned still exist.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
All these dangers are still there. So it doesn't matter what you do to yourself. You still have to have that wall up. You still have to protect yourself. You still have to look around when you hold your partner's hand. Because the reality of life is, as we see it right now, I don't know what it's going to be like 20, 30 years from now. The reality is that those are the things that we need to do to make sure that we're safe.
Right, but I don't know about looking at it as celebrating our differences as the right way. Like, we should acknowledge and be grateful that we have such diversity in this country, but we're not different.
No, remember,
But remember with Harvey Milk, when all those people were coming out holding up signs, I'm an electrician, I'm a teacher. Because we have a different sexual preference doesn't mean that we're different from our other fellow Americans or humankind. We're all part of one species that should be working together.
But the problem is, right, when you don't celebrate your differences, okay? When you don't celebrate your differences, which we are different as homosexuals, whether you're an electrician or something else, you have heterosexuals that group together and they don't necessarily put each other down the way we do. And then you have homosexuals that group together and we are all looking for that next masculine person. We are all part of an environment in which we're trying to be the top man, the top dog, because that is what men
do. Nature. That's nature.
Well, that's right. Also part
But we are in a gay male culture, right? Mm-hmm. All three of us, we're in a gay male culture. Mm-hmm. How do we then disseminate that so that we're not tearing each other down constantly? I mean, even if you go
There's
to
a
drag
work
show,
that needs to be
even if you go to a drag show, mm-hmm. right? What happens at a drag show? They perform, they're funny, they make fun of people. They make fun of people in the audience. They make fun of gay men. They make fun of each other. They're tearing each other down.
I'm sorry. I do have to say this. You know, when you're out there performing and you're making like Bianca Del Rio, et cetera, she's a what do they call her? A mean comic or a mean comedy queen or whatever. You know, it's like when you're going out there and you're pushing the stereotypes and making fun of things. Sometimes people need to learn how to take a fucking joke because a joke is a joke.
That's
sometimes
true.
The jokes may be inappropriate, but they're still a joke.
Well, there's no such thing as an appropriate joke. That's why it's a joke. Quote Michael Scott from The Office. I did not come up with that line.
I can hear Andy Julia in my head right now.
Well,
it's
so true. The second you start to put barriers and guidelines on comedy, it's there's a slippery slope there because once this is unacceptable.
That's not what I'm saying
here. Right. No, I know that's not.
You mentioned drag queens.
To what he's saying.
Fun.
There's a difference between appropriate and distasteful.
To the crowd. If you come out to a bar and you're watching a show, you can expect that there's going to be some campy drag queen that's going to be on the stage. It's going to say a couple of things that may rub some in the crowd the wrong way and may have the others in stitches. I mean, that's just the way life is. I think what we need to focus on is not, for example, the masculine men in our community putting down the effeminate men in our community. What we need to do is outside of the bar, right? Just in culture in general. And what we need to make sure that we do is, for example, ensure that our trans sisters and brothers feel comfortable in our spaces because, you know, they fought so hard for us to have those spaces. What we need to make sure that we do is people who don't identify as either, that are gender nonconforming, also feel comfortable in being able to come into these spaces and be able to interact with someone that might be effeminate or someone that is masculine without, you know, having the fear of thinking that, hey, you know, this person is going to put me down or make fun of me. That's what we need to work on.
Well, what's crazy to me in reading this whole study an article is that we've come a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the statistics itself, they really haven't changed. So men in the gay community are still committing suicide at the same rate or higher. They're getting sick at the same rate and or higher. And I'm really curious as to why it is that we continually fight to have these rights. We get these rights. And then men in our community are still so depressed that they will take their life.
Well, I mean, there could be a lot of underlying reasons as to why they do that. I mean, it could be something extremely personal at home.
At large, I'm not talking about the individual. I'm talking at large here.
Well, we had talked about that before, back in 2015 when marriage equality had passed. When we get to these feats and we really make a difference for our rights, we either plateau or, unfortunately, start to go down and start to lose again, whether it be a politician put in office, whether it be religious freedom laws that are enacted. Those are the things that keep us from going back up to fight for the next fight. And so, that's what can lead people to intense depression and then, unfortunately, to drug addiction, body shaming, or suicide.
So there was this one story that was in this. This is, like I said, a very long article and study, but there was this one story that really stuck with me, and it was about a child or a kid who at a certain point knew he was gay, whatever it was, 9, 11, decided that he was going to be in the closet. He decided he was going to be in the closet because he was at a family getaway, and all of his aunts and uncles were loving on their kids and having this beautiful life with their children. And he had a moment where he realized, if I'm gay,
that all goes away.
That goes away.
But that's an external market that or
is,
trigger.
That
for
is society
someone,
putting something on somebody.
On somebody.
Right.
You know, what we need to work on is what we do to ourselves internally.
What we need to work on is what homosexuality really means. What we need to work on is how to actually build a life as a homosexual in a healthy, safe way with a safe and positive, productive community. Mm-hmm. That's what we need to work on.
And we also need to work on people who are bringing up children that may be part of our community at some point in time and teaching them and showing them the value of equality and the value of acceptance and the values of being a good human being. Because a lot of the issues that we have internally in our community and all the fucked up shit that we have gone through as children or growing up or being put down by society come from our straight counterparts.
So I want to say one more thing about this article, then we have to go to break. So these are called, what I'm talking about right now are called minority stressors. And there are minority stressors, no matter whether you're gay, whether you're a different race, whether you're this, whether you're that, doesn't matter. But that being said, minority stressors in the gay community are very different than in the race community. Because when you're growing up as an adolescent, you have adolescent stressors. You have things that are normal that stress you out, whether it's your grades, whether it's mom doesn't like this, whether it's I want to go to here and I can't go here.
But hormones, then, you know, hormones, your body's changing.
In general, exactly. You have adolescent stressors. And then you have minority stressors. And in the gay community, minority stressors stick with us in a very deep, disgusting, I don't want to say disgusting, but very deep, distinguished way. Because I could have had a moment, and I've had this moment, where I have looked at somebody too long, longingly almost, and they noticed. And then that lived with me for 6 months to a year. Did they notice? Are they going to say something? And how that screws with your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why gay men continually find themselves with higher risk of suicide, higher risk of cardiovascular disease because their body is constantly in stress, higher risk of cancer. And this is all proven. It's crazy. Reading this article blew my mind because I never thought about all those things that I went through and like thinking, one day laying in middle school in the fucking nurse's office because I didn't want to deal with the fact that this girl liked me and I liked this boy that I couldn't stop staring at. And I just wanted to go home. So my mom came and picked me up. That lived with me and still lives with me. I'll never forget that day, literally crying and staring at that wall.
And again, you know, that particular example is something, you know, those are the outside triggers that cause that reaction in you that make you take that with you for the rest of your life.
Right, exactly. But something for a heterosexual male or a heterosexual female, if they had a moment where somebody liked them and they didn't like them, it was, okay, you know, they cry it off. They say, no, I don't like it. Somebody gets upset. And somebody walks away. But for me, I couldn't tell the person that I liked that I liked them. And this other girl who liked me wanted to date me. And I'm caught in the middle of this situation. Like, this is a problem.
Right.
Well, and it will always be a problem as long as we have, again, the straight agenda driving what gay men and women and people of the LGBT community should behave or act like.
Right.
Right? Because as long as they're the drivers of that, we're always going to have that issue.
But it is important to look at it at the scientific take. When Nick was saying it's proven that you're more likely to commit suicide, more likely to have cardiac issues or more likely to develop cancer. It's important to put out not to scare people. There's no proof. What it is, you always have to remember that correlation does not equal causation. Yes, this is correlated, but you shouldn't begin to think that because you're gay, you're going to get cancer.
No, God, no. Of course, no. That's not what I'm trying to say.
I know, no, but it's not. There's no proof that smoking causes cancer. You know, it's a correlation. So it is an important thing when you look at it statistically to remember that correlation never equals causation.
Well, that may lead to another amazing discussion and prolonged discussion, but we do have guests that are coming on and we do need to go to break.
Oh my God, I want to talk more about that.
I know, so we'll talk about it when we're done with our guests. So right now we're going to leave you with some music. And when we do come back, we do have author F.E. Feely Jr. and of course, Vance Bastian, who's the narrator of his book Closer, joining us on the second half of the show. Here's some music, and we will be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I want to die. But then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, play me on
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by the incredible Pat Riley, a previous guest of ours and an amazing vocalist, as you can tell. But joining us now is F. E. Feely, author of Closer, and of course, Vance Bastian, who's the narrator of the audio version of that book. Guys, welcome back. Well, Vance, welcome back to the show. And of course, Freddie, for the first time, welcome and thank you for joining us to discuss your book, Closer.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I was slow jamming to that. That was all right.
No sound.
Lord have mercy. We have sound now.
Hello?
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We've been having technical difficulties.
Difficulties.
It's because I'm back. I took a week off, and it's a hot mess when I get back.
I mean, so Tom also said joining us is, and then two people, you know, but... We're not going to focus on grammar today,
so,
I guess.
Anyway, welcome back to Vance. He's joined us before. He's also narrated Hans Hershey's books, of course. Now you are here with our guest host, Freddie, who's the author of Closer. You narrated his books. So I want to kick it off or kick it over to Freddie first and give us a little synopsis about your book. And tell us a little bit about yourself before we move into the rest of the conversation.
Well, thanks. Yeah, Closer, I wrote Closer was the third book I ever wrote. I ended up putting it in a drawer for a while and leaving it there. But the concept around it is what happens if love itself came under attack? And I've written books about gay people having to deal with homophobia, whether in the real world or like the supernatural world. But I wanted to see what it would be like to take an entire community and throw them into the fire. And it showed up this way. And so, yeah, it was a lot of fun to write. I wrote it off a second book or coming down off a second book and just kept going. And like I said, put it in a drawer for a little bit and dusted it off and published it with my new publisher, Beaten Track Publications, which is out of the UK. But yeah, I've been writing for a while, 6 years now, and I love it. So yeah.
So obviously, I didn't read the book. I listened to the book, whatever. Doesn't matter. Thanks, Vance. You're great. But so,
golden pipes, right?
Yes. Definitely.
I mean, like, yeah, that, and he's attractive too. So,
oh, he's covering.
No, but I want to talk a little bit about like the story itself. So it kind of stemmed from the fact that an individual lost somebody very special to them and then found love again in this world in which love was kind of scary, and and like how you went about writing that and finding that and why that was so important to explain to the listeners or the readers. Sorry.
I wanted to get into issues that gay people face. And in the romance world, it sort of boy meets boy, boy loses boy, boy gets cute boy back, right? I wanted to move beyond that concept. I think we know how it works, especially as a gay man. You know, it's like I've been there. You know, I want to move past a certain point.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to delve into the issues of what loss looks like and what it feels like and how do you pick up. You know, I wrote this book before gay marriage was universal or throughout the country rather. And I just wanted to explore those themes. And it was important to me, you know, when you fall in love, you risk loss, you know, you risk everything. And, you know, is it worth it?
Right.
And for this character to find it again, it was important to me.
And
you know,
so deeply though, so fast as well. Like it happened so quickly in the book itself. And for me, I loved the book. It was different for me because I listen to romance books. I'm a hopeless romantic.
Literally.
Sure.
And when I started listening to this, I'm like, oh no, this is kind of scary. what the fuck is happening? But then these elements of love that are threaded throughout the entire book that are so beautiful. But at the same time, I'm like, how the hell do you find the ability to put these like scary moments, or not even scary, but like intense, not even mystical. It's like, I guess scary. I guess scary is the best way to say it. Scary right. moments in these love stories. It's like, why? And what was the point of that?
Well, love is terrifying. You know, life is traumatic and love is terrifying. You know, the idea that love, you know, makes everything better, I think is bullshit. I think love makes shit easier. And I think, you know, we've all seen movies, we've all been fans of movies, and especially, you know, horror movies or war movies, there's the strategic sex scene, you know, where they find 5 minutes to, you know, shag and call me later kind of thing if I survive this. But to me, it was, you know, how do you, this thing, the antagonist was attacking just love, period. It was indiscriminate. Yeah. And it was sort of poetic at the time. You know, you have this evil thing that's being indiscriminate against, you know, love itself. And so that's just the way it worked out.
I mean, honestly, the way it was done was beautiful. And I'm going to flip it over to Vance now, because we've talked to you before with Hans, obviously, and the stories or the voices in this story, they were a lot different, and you had to be from like elated to like, I'm gonna murder you. And I want to know how you found the rhythm in those characters, because there were so many.
But when you study people to voice them, you start to pay attention to those differences. And honestly, it's the contrast. It's knowing the contrast between every individual. And then, as I said in Hans's issue or episode, I highlight each character in a different color so that when I get to that color, I immediately know what voice and character.
Right.
The other trick I learned is in each scene, I give an emotional number when I'm prepping the script. So when I get to it, I know, am I at a 4? Am I at a 10? Am I at a 6? Is this a take a breath scene? Is it a ramp it up and kill scene?
So, as far as going through the recording sessions and recording this particular book, do you find any similarities in doing other work for people? I mean, aside from giving them a number scale to as far as the intensity of the emotion?
There are certain voices that I might reuse and maybe like tweak something very small, like an accent, like the old lady in the post office. Her voice I've used in a couple of different things
because she was a
it's
bitch.
Just a go-to voice.
Just gonna put it out there.
She's pretty rotten.
But you know, for each character, for each work, I have to tweak it just a little bit so they're not identical.
Right.
So
it's a quick shorthand.
So just out of curiosity, would you be able to give us like two voices, for example, that you would be able to use? Just give us an example of something that you would do.
From this book?
From this book or anything in general. I mean, you are someone that are literally going and narrating books and you have a technique. Give us an example of how you use that amazing voice of yours.
Well, Freddie, can I pull from the work I'm currently doing for you?
Yeah.
Sure, fine.
The book I'm currently doing has two men who have just met each other and are snowed together for a weekend. One is older than the other by, 20-ish years?
20-ish years, yeah.
Sounds like
so his voice is much deeper. He's a lawyer, so he's confident, and he has to be prepared for pretty much anything. And the other guy is younger, sings Elton John, he's got emotion, he's got soul, but he's still figuring the world out. And so for him, I just use my normal voice with a little bit, maybe more emotion than I would just talking to my friends. But when I'm flipping back and forth between them and having a romance scene, it's sometimes easiest just to do that.
Gotcha. So there's a character in Closer. There's a character in Closer, and it's the main character's eventual. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, eventual away. Eventual lover, yeah. And all I could imagine was Vance the entire time. I was like, that is the person. Literally, like, that's all I could imagine. I'm like, all right, I can get into this book.
Yeah. So in each book I do, there is one character that's always just my voice.
Was that the character?
Maybe.
So, Freddie, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So when you write the story, you write the book, it's published, and then you send it off to get, you know, recorded, and you have an audio version of the book. What's your reaction when you listen back to it for the first time? Like, even like, you know, just in edits.
I love Vance. He's my go-to guy. This is the second book he's done. He's working on the third, like he said. I love it because you know what your inner dialogue sounds like, your inner voice when you read something. You hear it all the time. But when you listen to somebody else narrate your work, there's a difference in emphasis sometimes that's surprising, which changes the dynamic of the story a little bit, mm-hmm. which surprises me, which is, I mean, that's great when you're reading something, you know, and he does it wonderfully. And so it's just a lot of fun. It's so much fun. There's like certain times you have to go back and in this new story.
You're gonna throw. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just do it.
There's. I was standing. This is a true event. I was standing in front of an old Southern woman at a coffee shop, and it was me, the old lady, and the barista, and I'm waiting in line, and this old lady looks up at the menu, and she says, deadpan, she says, "I'd like a grande mohawk cappuccino."
What?
And a grande mohawk cappuccino, and the barista and I look at each other, and the lady was like, "A grande mocha cappuccino?"
Oh, my God.
And so I had to call him and be like, nope, it's this.
Like, well, with extra jalapenos on the side.
Right.
And in my defense, one, I had never heard it because it was something in his experience, not mine. But two, I heard Mohawk, so I pronounced the cappuccino knockoff as cup of canoe. And so he immediately texts me and he's like, no, that's not right.
Wait, so how did you two get connected? Because I know you're connected with Hans, and I know that Hans loves you. He already messaged me. So how did you two get connected? Were you prior to Hans?
Freddie, were you, what, our seventh interview?
I believe so, yeah. I interviewed with him on the Wrote podcast. And I was friends with you guys and then met him, and I was like, oh, wow, you're fun. So
were you a guest on the Wrote podcast? Because I could have sworn that maybe I read something somewhere that you were part of that podcast, but no. So you were a guest on the podcast as well.
Yeah,
I was a guest. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yes. So
we became friends.
So I say you have jumped in a couple times as a guest host, and one of us can't be there. So
I did do that.
Well, that's always great. I mean, we have guest hosts all the time. I mean, we just had one last week when Trish was away.
I couldn't be here.
So, Freddie, if I can go back to you, as far as the book and its content, what do you expect the people to take away from reading your book? Like, what's the optimal message from this particular book?
Don't read it in the dark.
Don't listen to it while you're going to bed.
Right. That, you know, life's a struggle. You know, it's hard out there, whether it's real life or, you know, whatever. But love makes it worth it, you know? it's tough out there. Rely on your community, rely on your friends, you know, and it'll get you through it. You know, I have a rule. Actually, I like to write horror. I love ghost stories. And, you know, ever since I was a little kid. And so being a gay guy, I never really saw our people out there unless they were getting whacked in the first, you know, opening of a horror movie or you know, the minority gets killed off.
Right. It's always the gay guy or the black guy. Right. It's always, it's exactly. True. No, that's a fact, Nick. You gave me a look like
no, I was shaking my head. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wanted to write those stories for us and have representation there, especially now.
So I think it's important to note that, like, I really hate horror. I hate scary anything. It's like, I was like, I'm not going to like this book. We were emailing back and forth, and he's like, so when am I going to be on the show? I'm like, let me listen to the book. No, I'm joking. But, like, no, it's just like me. I'm not comfortable with horror and stuff like that. And this book had a way of melding relationships with an actual issue that was going on in a town that a community could actually solve. And, sure. And, as much as there were moments where you were like, oh my God, somebody's going to die right now. And we know they're going to die. There was like this, like support behind the whole thing that was really beautiful that I really loved. And I think that that is so important for our listeners to know when you're going to listen to this book, it's not necessarily just you're not listening to a gay love story. There is a gay couple in this story. There is a gay individual who has lost somebody and is finding his way through life. But there is so much more to it. And I think that is so beautiful about the work that you're doing, because it's not just specifically about that love story. There's heterosexual couples. It's everything. It's a community of people trying to solve a problem.
I didn't want to extract them out of the community. I think we sometimes see that a lot too. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a couple pulled off and away from the rest of their surroundings, and we don't exist in a vacuum. You know, we exist in societies as a whole. And so it was a treat really to be able to use that society, you know, and see the good and the evil and, you know, it go back and forth. And having Vance with the timber of his voice, the gentle timber of his voice on top of something so awful and horrific made it scarier in a way, you know,
it's like when you hear a Christmas tune in a horror film.
Right. Yeah. You know, shit's about to get real.
Mm-hmm. Vance agrees. That's true.
Yeah. Jingle bells.
It really is. Yeah. I'm a horror fanatic, so you had me at horror.
Yeah, it's like singing Jingle Bells, and all of a sudden, what is it, Pennywise comes out of nowhere.
Oh, stop it. No, we're not doing that right now. We're not doing that right now.
So it's funny because, you know, Nick and I were hanging out, I think it was about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he was telling me, all right, so I started listening to this book, and it's like not typically something that I'm comfortable, you know, listening to or reading, but, oh my God, I can't put this thing down, and it's like really intriguing me, and it's put in such a way that it gets you to where you need to be. And although it is scary, and although there's a lot of elements of that horror behind the book, it tends to sort of kind of fall where it needs to, but it makes sense eventually.
You know what's beautiful about it for me, and our listeners know, I, you know, in my past, I've lost somebody that I love deeply, and I'm still looking for love in the future. Blah 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 blah. Don't get
don't
zappy,
go there.
Blah,
don't
blah,
go
blah,
there.
Blah.
Don't go there.
But what was really special to me in the book, whether it was a horror or not a horror, was the fact that there was this man that was really going through something so deeply personal, and found himself in a situation that was horrific, but still found a way to find love and find support. And I think you did that in such a way that it's really hard to do. I honestly don't know how the fuck you did that. Cause like he found this person to support him through this moment of like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. And I think that's oftentimes, there's an old Reba McEntire song that goes, "The world won't stop from my broken heart," you know, and it's that area you find yourself in when the world moves on the day after a tragedy, and you're stuck for a moment, you know, and you're trying to pick up the pieces, and sometimes it requires a fresh start. Sometimes you have to leave the area that you were in. I think as human beings, we've all been there, you know, in various forms, and you find a friend or a lover or somebody who slaps your clothes on you and tells you, pay attention, mm-hmm. you know, and sort of helps you along that route. And their coming together was sort of pushed by external forces, you know, yeah. Throughout the entire town. But it was there naturally. The attraction was already there. It was just kind of, they were given a gentle nudge in that direction. So,
but it was so magnetic almost though, like to the point at which, for me, I was like, wow, what is going on in this character's head that he is so protective? You know what I mean? Like, it was like, he didn't take a moment. He dug in.
Right.
And to me, I was like, where did this character come from? And why was that so important to be portrayed in the book?
I think Tommy, I was in the military for 4 years. I knew guys who were like him, who were very protective, who were very kind of, you know, silent and still and sort of the guidepost, you know. Where he come from, wishful thinking, maybe. but my husband is a lot like Tommy. You know, he's very steady. He's very calm. I'm a spaz. I am drama. I can tell by the way you passed me this orange juice this morning, it ain't working. Calm the fuck down. It's going to be okay. You know? And so, yeah. Yeah. That's where Tommy came from, I think.
Except with Trish, it'd be, I could tell the way you handed me the mimosa this morning.
There wasn't enough champagne. Yeah. Fuck off. Yeah. Go back to bed. So Vance, really quick, I want to talk a little bit about the differences between like Hans and like this mystical world that Hans created for you, and then this different world that Freddy's created for you. Like, how is it for you to create these two different worlds, and how do you then create all of these characters within those worlds? Because they're so different.
And part of it just stems from the fact that each project is different. You know, I've passed as a stage actor, and so each production is different, and you fall into its individual magic, and it just sort of, you let it color your voice, and you let it color what you're saying and what you're doing, so that it stands out on its own.
And there's communication between us too during the process.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, so that your feedback helps him sort of kind of realize, okay, where this character needs to be, what type of voice I need to be using, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So you guys do collaborate heavily before the book is finalized and put out to the public.
Yeah.
Yep, chapter by chapter. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep. I just want to get like a little like sample. Can you give me a sample of one of the characters in Closer? Let's talk about the woman at the post office, and or we could talk about the woman in the diner. Pick one of the two and give me a little bit of love.
Susie or Rose?
Susie was difficult. I think we went back and forth on her a couple of times.
Yeah. And
I think that was because I didn't know anyone like her or where she was going to be by the end. And so I had a really hard time with Susie. The woman in the post office, no problem. You know, because I had pre-read the script. I knew exactly where she was going.
Right.
And I knew people like her who just sort of take the community and they act very nice and sweet. But you know there's something going on behind the scenes. And everything they say, of course, has a purpose and has a point. And they're going to take you there because in their heart, they're dead.
What about Tom? Can you give me a little bit of Tom?
Tom is military. He's easy. You just say things quickly and deeply like you mean it and keep moving.
It's incredible how they can just switch. So listen, you mentioned that you're currently working on something that you guys have coming down the pike. Nick had also mentioned offline that you're working on about three different works currently.
Was it three or two? I can't remember via email.
Well, so one was turned in, so I am currently only working on two.
Okay.
Freddie's new book, and I'll let him preview that as he chooses. But then my novel, because I've promised people the second one, and I've promised that when I release the second novel, I will release the audio for the first.
Thanks.
So the other project I'm working on is actually narrated by the author.
Oh, well.
Oh, nice. So in essence, you both have active publication works in the works that you guys are working on that you're going to release.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So let me flip over to Freddie. You had told me that you're working on a couple of...
You're working on a new book.
I am.
So do you mind telling us a little bit about what that book will be about?
Oh, not at all. It's actually a serial novel. I was going for erotica, and I failed. I failed. Like, they got the groove on. And then it's like, let me tell you how fucked up these guys are. And so, yeah, I go right. I'm TNT, baby. I know drama. I go right into it. And I stick them in a one-bedroom apartment during a winter storm. And they screw like bunnies. And there's something about the confessional, you know, talking to a virtual stranger. You don't know this person.
Right.
And kind of bearing your soul. They're both in a fucked up place in their life, and they're trying to figure out how to move on. So it's called Into the Gray, or that's what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then its sequel I just released is A Lighter Shade of Blue. And so they decide to stay together and you know, try to make a go of it. And it's sort of navigating.
So is the first book released?
Mm-hmm. Both of them are.
Why don't I have these
it
books?
Just sounds like all of Trisha's relationships, like Into the Dark.
No, I was literally, like, you were talking, I was like, so I've been wanting to write a book for a long time, but I'm not a writer and I can't write and I need to find a ghostwriter.
You can just write it for you.
And so I'm thinking maybe, Freddie, do you want to be my ghostwriter?
Sure.
All right, and we'll have to have a conversation.
It'll get very dark and very crazy.
Yeah, no. I already have a title. We just got to write it.
What's your title?
One fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
No, it's called Countdown to Mr. Right. Hello?
Oh, my God. Well, listen, guys, I really don't want to take any more time of your afternoons, but I do want to thank you both for joining us. Just so that our listeners know, where can they find both of you? We'll start with Freddie.
I'm on Amazon. All my work's on Amazon. You can find me there. Or my publisher's website, which is beatentrackpublishing.com. Yeah, that's where you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm there trying to get famous.
We were looking more for an address.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
You are nasty.
I'm kidding. Okay.
He'll show up at your door. This bitch is crazy.
Yeah, she's hairy, but she wants it. Moving on.
I like scary stuff.
And oh, hey, I got scary books for you all day. I'm on my seventh, eighth book now.
Yeah.
But I want to brag on Vance for a second. Slumber Scythe is his first book, and he puts J.K. like him and Rowling are competing. That book is amazing. Okay, go ahead, Vance. Not to embarrass you.
Wait, hold on. Time out. Yeah. Time out. So do you have a published book, Vance?
Yep.
What's that called?
Called Slumber Scythe. It is a fairly modern story, but there are people with supernatural powers who live in the shadows, and the main character comes from two bloodlines, actually. One related to dream and one related to death, hence Slumber Scythe. And he's getting dragged into a shadow war.
Look it up. Slumber Scythe.
No, I'm just going to order
it. Is that
it.
What it is? Slumber Scythe?
Yep.
Look it up.
I'm on Amazon.
Gay Talk credit card.
No, oh, I know. So we know that Freddie, you're on Facebook. Is it under F.E. Feely Jr. on Facebook?
It's Yeah, let me look at it. Effie Feely Jr. is The Village. So that's my clique, my posse.
Okay.
My street crew. They can find me.
Awesome. And Vance on Facebook, Twitter, all the,
I'm on all of those. The easiest is probably just go to vancebastion.com and all the links are there to whatever piece of my life you're interested in.
That's amazing. And if we have any future authors that would like to write books and are looking for someone to narrate those books, we've got the man standing right in front of us. Actually, not literally, like he's in front of us on a screen.
And having a sit down.
So he will narrate my book that's written by Freddie.
You will be horrified. He'll run for the hills.
Everybody will.
So, guys, thank you both for joining us. And we're going to definitely make sure that all of the information for the book that we covered today is closer. Will be available on our post tonight. We'll have all of the information for your social media links. We look forward to seeing all of your future works, including anything that's coming down the pike. And please consider this an open invitation. Anytime you got something for us, let us know. We'll be more than happy to have you back on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Guys. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, just you now. Hey, Boo. Bye. Wait, hold on. Don't go yet. What is the name of the book again?
Slumber Scythe.
I can't hear you. What? Slumber?
Scythe. Like, the big reaping instrument.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Got it. Lord got have it. Mercy.
Takes her a minute.
There's a big scythe on the cover.
Are you sure you want to read her, narrate her book?
I'm in.
Okay.
Money, money, money.
You don't know what you're asking for.
Girl, no one knows.
Well, it has to be written first, so.
Well, that's true.
Facts.
It'll take another decade. All right, Vance, thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. All right. So that was, of course, F.E. Feely, or as we called him on the show, Freddie. And, of course, Vance Bastion, who was the narrator for his book, Closer. We're going to put all the information for that book on the tonight's post so you guys can access it, click on it, buy it. Nick, of course, has already read it. She's nasty, that one.
It's not my problem.
And, definitely we encourage that you, seek out anyone that that would like to buy the book. It's there. It's available. So we're going to go ahead and back to the show. We've got a couple of more things that we want to touch base on before we wrap it up and call it a night.
Yes.
Now, we had a couple of stories. You have one story that you want to talk about, but I really wanted to take a moment. It is June 10th today. In two days' time, it'll be the third year anniversary of the Club Pulse massacre. And I wanted to acknowledge the fact that that event did occur and that that event shook our community to the core. I wanted to pay my respects and hope that those amazing, beautiful souls that we lost at Club Pulse in Orlando, Florida, are resting in eternal peace, and that our community finds a way to use such a tragic event as a means to build healthier, stronger ties and bonds amongst ourselves so that we could, if something like this should ever happen again, come out of it a lot stronger as we have in the last 3 years. So that being said, Christopher, I'm going to throw it over to you. You can cover the last story and then we'll go ahead and wrap the show.
Yeah, as we've been saying, we are in Pride Month, and we do know that the president had tweeted about Pride. He has not acknowledged June as the official Pride Month for the LGBTQ+ community.
Can we get a fuck her?
Fuck her!
Exactly. Though we've seen Pompeo and other people in his administration tweeting about it as well, but he is not recognizing it. I believe even last year or his first year in office, he was calling it National Outdoors Month or something like that. He was avoiding it completely. But he has also called that embassies around the globe should cease and desist flying rainbow flags from the flagpole.
Well, what actually happened was... DC can allow them to fly the flag for Pride Month, But before they can fly the flag, they have to ask permission. Mm. During the Obama administration, they were just, there was no question. You're allowed to fly it.
Because you can fly a flag as long as it's below.
No, the pride flag, for example. You can fly it, no question asked.
During the Obama administration.
You're right, correct. Exactly.
This administration is different. And after being asked by several embassies, can we fly the flag? The answer was no. That does not mean they can't fly the flag in the embassy, outside the embassy. They just cannot.
It can be on the flagpole.
It just can't be on the flagpole. That doesn't mean they won't do it.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, the Trump administration made it adamant that they were not allowing people to fly it on the flagpole. Right, but there were ways. Now, this was not going against the order. Rather, it was going around the order because in embassies such as South Korea, China, and Nepal, they are displaying the flag on the side of their building, some spanning three stories, which is incredible. And Nepal, I mean, China and South Korea, we've talked about multiple times in the past with their struggle for equal rights, equality. But Nepal is among one of the most liberal when it comes to standing for equal rights. I mean, homosexuality has been legal since 2007. That's not very long. They can open people of the LGBTQ plus community can serve in the military. Discrimination is against LGBTQ plus community members. It's constitutionally prohibited. So Nepal is above many of those nations in Asia to protect LGBT rights. And then the American embassy is saying that they're going to stand with those activists.
Meanwhile, this asshole.
I was ready for it too.
In Canada. I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, in
Canada. No, in the
Mar-a-Lago.
USA.
Mar-a-Lago, that's better. Meanwhile, this asshole is tweeting things about how he wants to support Pride and support the LGBT plus community during the month of June.
Well, bitch, let us fly our flag, dude.
No, it's not even about flying our flag. He won't let embassies around the fucking country, around the fucking
globe. World, yeah.
Fly the fucking flag.
And he won't acknowledge.
And you were right the first time around. There's a lot of embassies that exist within the U.S. that represent many nations around the world.
Yeah, but then that's going to be up to their capital, if they can fly something like that. But it's also important that, you know, you have, what's his name? Richard Grenell. He's the ambassador to Germany. He's a very high official. He's openly homosexual.
And Germany?
Yeah, but he's not. He's a dick. Like, he's trying to say that Donald Trump, remember we had this conversation when Hans came on, we had talked about this, yes. And then Hans sent us the Facebook messages saying that, you know, oh, you guys fell for Trump's muse to try to say that he wants to decriminalize homosexuality worldwide.
But we didn't fall for that.
No, so, we didn't. We had just, all we talked about was an article that was put out that he had called, and Richard Grenell was pushing for it. And Richard Grenell is saying that Donald Trump is taking the strongest stance on making sure that the discrimination and illegality of homosexuality is eradicated worldwide. And that's just not true. They're knowing nothing about it. By saying that you can't fly a pride flag from our embassy's flagpoles, that has nothing to show that you support decriminalizing homosexuality.
But you know what's great, though?
Tell us.
What's great about this is the fact that it's an issue. Mm-hmm. The fact that embassies around the world are reaching out to DC and saying, we want to fly the pride flag. And they're being told no, and they're finding ways around it.
Yeah.
And that is what...
And they're publicly going out there and putting pictures of them holding.
Yes. It is terrible that they can't fly it the way they could during the Obama administration, but the fact that they are trying to find a way and continually finding a way to go around this orange Cheetolini in our White House.
Shit, Kevin.
And still supporting the gay community.
That still cracks me up. It's really
amazing. Like that is what I'm trying to take right. away yeah. from it. And it's still terrible.
But it is important to point out that these people who are trying to fly the flag at these embassies, they're Americans. This isn't Seoul trying to fly the flag. This isn't Beijing trying to fly the flag. These are because it's our embassy.
Yeah,
so it's Americans American embassies in those countries
all over the world.
Yeah, they're trying to show their support for equality worldwide. So it is important to point out that these are Americans that are fighting.
Obviously, yes.
But there are other nations.
But it's not the
Taiwanese.
It's not the Nepalese or the South Korean Chinese government fighting for. It's Americans who are fighting for
it. But the fact that there's pushback, that is what is beautiful about it. Mm. Whether it's an American embassy or not an American embassy, our embassies are saying, hey, we want to do this because we support this. And just because you, as our president in D.C., don't, doesn't mean we don't want to do this. So how can we find a way?
And we support those who are living in these countries who are fighting for this equality. We support those Americans who are in this country who support this equality. We support all the Eastern or all the European Union citizens who are here, that it's across the board that they need to offer equal protection. It's showing it's America stepping forward, trying to show that we want to show pride in our peoples, mm-hmm. and we want to fight for equality worldwide.
Absolute truth. Yes, Christopher. All right, so listen, on that note,
I love you too.
We do have three more things that we're going to jump into, the show, and say goodbye. Our next one is, of course, It's Been a Minute with our very
Who own did
Mama
this last
Kim.
Week?
Tom.
I did, and it was amazing.
Was it? Yes. Was it good? Was it better than mine?
We'll find out.
Of course not.
Should he do it?
No. It was fun. He filled in for you, though. He did a great job.
So,
but
all right.
You get more flustered than she does, so it's fun.
Do you have a counter?
Do I have a counter?
All right,
of course
you ready?
I do.
In 3, 2, 1.
Go!
Alabama mayor suggests killing LGBTI people. This is not funny. In a Facebook post, it's terrible. 2, community pays tribute to Pulse victims. We talked about it earlier on the show. Mm-hmm. And survivors with art, song, prayer, and a memorial run. 3, these drag queens have a special 60th birthday message for Mike Pence. And it's probably like, fuck off. 5, Jonathan Van Ness becomes Essie's first non-female ambassador. Queer Eye star has partnered with American nail polish brand for Pride Month. 6, men who petitioned Barbie for same-sex wedding set to get married.
Yes!
Very nice. Nailed it.
I tried to be calm, but I got nervous.
Just shy of 44 seconds.
I was like 40, 49 seconds
or
something.
You're
like
46 or so.
Yeah, but she still beat my time. Good job, girl.
She done good.
Proud of you. So these are stories, of course, that are provided by our unofficial but official correspondent, Mama Kim.
I also have to say that the story that I was talking about on the first half of the show was brought to us by her as well. Mm-hmm. I will be sharing that on our post tonight because it is a good read.
Yes. So we'll put all of these stories, all the links, on our post tonight so you guys can access them, read them, get familiarized with them, mm-hmm. so that you know what we're talking about.
She's our matriarch correspondent. She really is.
She is. She's amazing, and I love her. And the fact
and her
that
family.
We had her.
Did we thank her for our gift?
Yes, we did on last week's show. We talked about the book.
Trish wasn't invited last week.
No, so I didn't listen because I knew you guys were going to slam me. So
honestly, we didn't. The only thing, it was the opener. Elsie had nothing but amazing things to say about you because she loves you. And of course,
you keep
saying
Elsie had nothing but
to say about me because I was talking shit.
A little bit. It wasn't really that bad. It really wasn't that bad.
It was like prairie dogging. Like, it wasn't coming out too much, but it was there. You knew it was happening.
But we love you, girl. You're a bitch. Mm-hmm. We love you. Give me 5.
Anyway, this week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com,
is squirm.
Squirm.
Squirm. To wiggle the ass while being fucked. I'll have that cowboy squirming in 5 minutes. Yes. Squirm is your gay talk term this week.
Love it.
That's her specialty. All right, Chris, on this day in gay history?
Yeah, it's not a fun one. But we can put a twist on it. We can put a twist on it.
So I'm going to see if he can say this name. This is hysterical.
It's from Switzerland, so it's like French and German and all put together, so it's very tricky. So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
When June 10th, 1566, back in Switzerland, Bartholomew Tessier was tried for sodomy. He is found guilty and sentenced to death by drowning in the Rhone River. Well, that's a fun story. But we can take this as, we can turn it around, looking as we're celebrating Pride Month. You know, at one time in our history, people of the homosexual community could be sentenced to death by drowning in a river. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we fought to get through the AIDS epidemic. We fought for civil unions. We fought for marriage equality.
We fought to live.
We fought to live. Exactly.
But another thing that you could clearly take out of this is that, you know, gay people didn't just decide to be gay in the last 50 years and push forward. There's clear evidence that homosexuality goes back well before Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it begins before mankind was on.
Hans Hershey sent me a whole video today about gay penguins. So
there it is. There
that'll keep her busy for about 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. I cried.
Thanks, yes, of thanks, course Hans.
But yes, that's on this day in gay history.
Well, right. I think, can I just say one thing about the gay penguins?
No, we're done. Yeah,
okay. Go ahead. All right, one quick thing about the gay penguins. It is a comedy sketch. I'm also going to post that video on our post tonight. But what was most amazing about it is we talked about the fact that the gay penguins were given an egg in the Edinburgh Zoo.
What the hell did they do with the egg? The only difference
about this one penguin that was raised in a family of penguins is that he had two gay dads. There was no other difference. Mm-hmm. Perfectly fine.
I thought he was going to come out and say someone cracked the egg and made an omelet. I don't know. But
well, I hope to hell not.
No.
Why?
I don't want to eat.
Those penguins are still a little confused as to why they actually didn't produce an egg, because they've been trying hard, but.
Well, you know what? Good so for them. You. Keep trying. Keep trying.
All right. Listen, guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite podcasting device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon. Thank God for the live stream that we're live streaming there. Otherwise, we would not have any evidence whatsoever of this recording, period, because of my incompetence. Mm-hmm. I will admit that, but you guys can support us on
Patreon. Not the first time.
Doing so will allow you guys to get access to this live stream. We collect all of these monthly donations every month, and we are super, super, super appreciative for your help. Chris?
Next week, I actually am incredibly excited for this. We're going to be welcoming the Naked Nutritionist, so stay tuned. Question. I'm excited about one thing. Is this person a man?
Yes.
All right, I'm excited about two things, because I love good nutrition and I love naked men. So we're looking forward to this.
So well, this man
will come on board.
So he's trying to write a book. Uh-huh. He's on Instagram. We'll share all of that stuff on our website. Super excited to have him on the show.
I want to talk. I really want to hear about good nutrition. It's something important to talk about.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
How to bottom and eat well.
It's cabbage, important. Cabbage, cabbage.
No, oh, yeah, no, yeah. No.
Kimchi gets the job
thank
done.
You, thank you, thank you to our guest, F.E. Feely Jr., author of Closer. Closer. And the talented Vance Bastion. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
It's been a week. She's been gone for a while, and she's off all week. So anyway, Chris?
Who is the second person again, though? I interrupted you. The talented?
Vance Bastion.
There it is.
Yes,
so our
Vance!
Listeners could hear it. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
My future husband.
All right. Well, then, Vance can Bastion. We definitely put a rubber on it, please?
Yeah.
Right away.
All right,
please.
Vance, take sorry advice. All right. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces. Oh my God, it's been a week. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or for an individual host. You can also leave questions on our voicemail for us to answer on the show for you. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK.
That was a good investment.
Right? If you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255.
Oh my God, we got a phone number. We got an Instagram message from Alabama. Did I tell you about it?
Did we? No, but very quickly.
Did they try to drop the abortion law so they can abort our show?
No. Where's my phone? I need the Instagram. Where's my phone?
Oh, wait. Is it the Gay Talk Instagram?
Yeah, quickly.
Let me pull it up. Hold on. We're there. Gay Talk.
No, not that.
Oh, God, no.
The message.
I'm switching.
Better if you contribute to Patreon, because you get to watch
this. All this craziness,
this
right?
Okay. Yeah. All right, so it was actually very cute, and we always kind of slam...
Alabama.
Yeah. So this individual's from Alabama, and he's a listener. And he said, "Hey, happy Pride. Love the show. Just wanted to share with you that not all of Alabama is terrible.
We do bash it. I'm
though
sorry.
97% of it is a little dodgy. Today was a historical day. A team of artists and myself were permitted to paint 4 rainbow crosswalks downtown in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, that's
amazing. And so...
So I'm not going to continue to read this, but thank you so much for all of your work. And Alabama's not that bad. And it was a good investment.
What was his name?
I feel like I'm not
sure. Oh, well, you're not supposed to say it?
I don't feel like I should.
All right, well, that's fine. He knows, he or she, or they, know who we're talking about.
Christopher, I'm proud of you.
Yeah, yes, I'm learning.
Using your pronouns correctly.
I
want to
say,
yes.
there's another good thing about Alabama.
Uh-huh.
One of my beautiful nieces' name is Alabama.
Oh.
We call her Bama.
Sweet
and she's adorable.
Alabama.
She's adorable.
Why does it seem right that you have a niece called Bama?
Bama! Bam, bam! Bam, bam!
Let's close this fucker out.
I thought we were done.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for joining us on tonight's episode. Unfortunately, we could not do a live stream because that's an issue that we'll just have to take care of at another time. But I do want to thank you for joining us, ladies and gents. That is our show. Thank you. And y'all have a fantastic night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.